Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you yet another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com, so please check it out. But first, sit back and relax, and let me tell you the story of the last geyser in the Pacific Northwest, which was in Lakeview, Oregon. And I said was in Lakeview, Oregon, because unfortunately it went silent sometime in the spring of 2009, has not erupted since, which is a real bummer. There are a few things left in the state that kind of look like geysers, maybe are geysers if you're really a stickler, but nothing for real. And that's that. So here's the story. It was first published on November 12th, 2010, under the headline, Last Geyser in Pacific Northwest Has Gone Still in Lakeview. Here we go. Sometime in the spring of 2009, the only continuously erupting geyser in the entire Pacific Northwest fired its regular shot for the last time. Many Oregonians didn't even know the Beaver State had a geyser. In fact, it has had two. Three, if you really lower your standards of what a geyser is and include Mickey Hot Springs in Harney County. Both the other two geysers were wells that were drilled 50 to 80 years ago with surprising results. And neither one is regularly active today. The first one, dubbed Old Perpetual, erupted during drilling for Hunter's Hot Springs, a hydrotherapy resort in Lakeview, in 1923. Every 90 seconds the thing went off, shooting scalding water 60 feet into the air. Every 90 seconds. For decades. This was the best thing that could possibly have happened to the resort, which is still in business today. It was also big news for the tiny town of Lakeview. Surprisingly quickly, the pool at the base of the geyser became populated with a colony of bluefish, which could tolerate the unusually warm water. Over the years, the geyser was seen to fade a little as nearby agriculture ramped up. Well, this made sense. Pump more water out of the ground to spray on crops, and there's less available to blast into the air. No one worried much about it, and the geyser always roared back to life again in the fall, just in time for the spectacular, steamy, snowy wintertime eruptions. But by the end of the 20th century, the geyser had become almost entirely dormant for the dry part of the year, springing back to life every fall. Then, in the fall of 2009, it didn't. It simply quit. Some locals suspect a new geothermal well, which the city of Lakeview drilled near the hot springs, had sapped its forces. The geyser quit erupting just a few years after the new well was drilled, so the correlation is suspicious. And that is a geothermal well, too, so that was drilled specifically for purposes of taking heat out of the ground rather than water. And in fact, that sort of thing has happened before. In the mid-1990s, a tomato company built a greenhouse operation on a piece of high desert near Crane in Harney County, Oregon, just a stone's throw from Crystal Crane Hot Springs, an old-fashioned soak-and-swim resort popular with the locals and with the few visitors who had discovered it. As soon as the greenhouse went in, the water temperature in the pools at Crystal plummeted. There was quite a bit of resentment locally as a result. Many people thought putting the greenhouses there was tantamount to an act of piracy. The greenhouse operation has since gone out of business, and water at temperatures at Crystal are back to normal. In Lakeview, though, the city insists it had nothing to do with the geyser petering out, saying its well is far too deep to have affected the geyser's water sources. Also, they're quick to point out geysers don't last forever, even ones named Old Perpetual. That's particularly true for geysers that spring from drilled well shafts. Case in point. Oregon's other large geyser, Crump Geyser, just a few dozen miles from Old Perpetual. Now, Crump got its start in 1959 when landowner Charles Crump made a deal with the Nevada Thermal Power Company, which was looking for geothermal sources for power plants. Crump suggested a spot, and the company drilled deep, very deep, without results. When the well reached 1,681 feet, the drillers gave up. 1,681 feet. A few days later, when Crump was there to look at the well and scratch his head and wonder why it was dry, the ground rumbled and a column of water nearly 200 feet high roared into the sky in front of him. This was a big league geyser, bigger than many of the geothermal monsters of Yellowstone National Park and Iceland, including Old Faithful. The Yellowstone Old Faithful, that is, not any of the other little knockoff geysers in California and other states that have named themselves Old Faithful. So, for a short time, Oregon actually had two regular geysers, one of them world-class. It was indeed a short time, though. In the early 1960s, some unknown person apparently decided it would be fun to drop some big rocks down the well casing and watch the water shoot them out. The rocks plugged it up, and it hasn't erupted since. One of Crump's other wells, drilled in 1954, did start erupting after the big one was plugged, but it was fitful and erratic, and by the 1990s had petered out completely. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. There's about 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and also links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get involved with the conversation online. There's even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which came out just last month. The website is also where you'll find full citations of sources for this story. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line, let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.